This is the All Day Ruck Off Podcast, episode number 14. Welcome to the All Day Ruck Off Podcast, episode number 14. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. We truly hope you enjoy this episode. And don't forget to check out our previous episodes as well. The All Day Ruck Off podcast includes interviews, answers questions, and provides updates on the rucking community. In this episode, I interview GoRuck cadre Mikey B about his involvement in the GoRuck selection event. If you're listening to this on release day, which is September 21st, 2017, then today is the day that GoRuck selection starts in Jacksonville, Florida. Before we get into the interview, I wanted to take a second to thank Jason S. for leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. Jason said that the interviews are done with a gracious yet inquisitive style that gets some really good answers. Keep up the great work, Brian. Huge thank you to Jason for leaving that review, and I will continue to do my best to keep bringing some great content. If you'd like to leave a review for the show, you can do so on iTunes by searching for All Day Ruck Off. If you don't use iTunes and want to leave a review for All Day Ruck Off, you can do so on the Reviews tab of our Facebook page, where we have a handful of reviews so far. One last quick announcement. We just released 2 new morale patches in the All Day Ruck Off store, so if beer or old school video games are your thing, you might want to check those 2 out. There'll be links in the show notes. And they're pretty awesome. That's it for the announcements, and I'm very excited to bring this interview with GoRuck cadre Mikey B to you now. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good, Brian. How are you?
Not too bad. So how did you first hear about GoRuck?
First heard about GoRuck in early 2015. A couple of buddies of mine that are Green Berets were working for the company. Mocha Mike, Jesse H., couple other guys, Joe Warner. We all came from the same unit, and these guys were doing stuff with GoRuck, and they would talk about it a lot and how much fun it was and all the cool people that they got to meet across the country. So I went out and checked one out with a good buddy of mine and thought it was a lot of fun and got to meet a lot of really cool people outside of the military. So it really opened up a door for me to see that outside of the special forces kind of team room environment, because you usually just hang out with the 12 guys that are on the team. And it just opened my eyes up to the fact that there are just so many awesome people out there outside the team room, because we spend so much of our time kind of trapped in that team room or deployed with the team that we're really kind of isolated. It was a great introduction just to kind of go out in shadow. And then I really wanted to jump on board. So I reached out and contacted Jason McCarthy and Garrett Noonan and a couple other guys. And they jumped me in at the CTS beta at Fort Bragg, which was a pretty haggard event. Pretty gnarly logs.
That's wild. So when you went into your first event, did you know that you wanted to be a cadre for GoRuck, or did you just want to test the waters first?
It was a little bit of both. Like, I wanted to be a cadre, but like, I was really curious why it is GRTs do this every Friday night. I was really curious because as a guy that does this for a living, like, I wanted to get an appreciation for what it was that the GRTs were seeking and, you know, what is their experience. Because it's kind of like the PT and things that we do in special forces, but yet it's not, right? So I was just curious about what it was that the GRTs were looking for. And it was pretty interesting to come to find out that, you know, it wasn't just about the PT. It was more about the camaraderie and the community that brought everybody together to these events. The shared suffrage, you know, just like being on an SF team, some of the best friendships we have aren't from the good times, laughing and sitting around. Some of the best friendships come from shared hardship. And so that's kind of one of the big things that I saw coming from the GRT community was the fact that they were a very tight-knit community through shared suffrage, shared pain, shared challenges, and it just made them a more resilient group of people.
I like that. That's awesome. So who was the cadre for the event that you signed up for?
It was a pretty all-star cast. It was Jason McCarthy, Garrett Noonan, Montreal was out there. I think Dan was out there at one point in the periphery. It was a really large group. It was the CTS beta at Fayetteville, North Carolina.
That's quite the cast.
It was a pretty good cast, and it was interesting to see this dynamic kind of unfold between everybody. And me knowing the guys from the community that we come from, it was interesting to see them kind of flip script and put on a little bit more of a hard face, you know, more of an aggressive face up front. Because usually our, you know, as a Green Beret, your job is to build relationships and to work in the human terrain, right? And to see these guys come out very hard, very aggressive up front was kind of shocking to me. I wasn't expecting that at all. Caught me a little off guard, to be honest.
So as a GORUCK cadre, I've done a number of tough events with you. I know you're a cadre for a number of light events. What's your favorite event to run?
My all-time favorite event to run is Selection. My favorite event throughout the year, I look forward to it. It's marked on my calendar. As soon as the Selection ends, I mark it on my calendar for the next year. It's truly my all-time favorite event because it's different than the lights, the toughs, the heavies, anything else that's on the market. One, it is the toughest endurance event in the world. Hands down, bar none. There's nothing else out there that mirrors or replicates SF Selection. They've got these death races and all these things in South America. That's a totally different thing than what GORUCK Selection really is. GORUCK Selection is different predominantly because the cadre doesn't ever motivate you. You don't have a teammate there to motivate you. This tests you to your core, tests you on your mental resiliency, your physical ability, and also your ability to endure the unexpected, right? That resiliency aspect. And there's nobody there to lean on or, hey, my shoulders hurt or my ankle's sore. Can you take my ruck for a while? It's all about you, the individual. And we as the cadre enforce a standard that's unknown to any of the participants. And that standard is the standard. There's no shifting it left to lighten up. Oh, his knees are sore, his back's hurt. The standard is the standard. And at the end of the day, if people can't meet the standard, then they go home. The biggest thing for me is, you know, it being my favorite event is you get to see guys ride this roller coaster, right? And it truly is a roller coaster because the unexpected's happening. This roller coaster is them in their head fighting their own mental demons, their body telling them to quit, and their mind fighting through that, fighting through it over and over again. And I know people that are listening are probably going to say, oh, I get that when I do a tough or a heavy, but you have an outside force and a team there that's motivating you, encouraging you, insulating you, building you up. At Selection, there's nobody. It's you and that little voice in your head. And watching people wrestle with this throughout the events, it's truly remarkable to watch, man. It's a metamorphosis throughout the night as people progress, especially after we get past the welcome party. The people that really have that strong, resilient mindset, watching them ride that roller coaster, that's the only way I can really describe it. And seeing them battle themselves, it's pretty awesome to watch them fight and see what their breaking point's going to be. And as a cadre, you don't know what the breaking point's going to be. The breaking point could be, you know, you just changing up the exercises, and they're not going to be exerting any more effort physically. However, in terms of their mental output, that's really where things kind of get shook up for them is on that mental side. Watching them battle themselves, man, it's truly remarkable, right? Because you get to see what that person's made of. And we're not there judging them, putting them down, because everybody that signs up and puts their name on that line, that's a bold statement signing up for that event. Just signing up is half the battle for some people.
It truly is. Selection's your favorite event to run. I know you're at the last GORUCK Selection as a cadre. Was that the first GORUCK Selection event you're a cadre for?
Yeah, last year was the first GORUCK Selection event I was at. I was there to help do some med coverage, do med checks and things, as well as I worked the late shift from like midnight to 6 in the morning. It was Cody and I.
So what made you decide to want to sign up to be a cadre for that event?
It goes back to it being the toughest event, being a standard bearer, and really watching people get pushed to their breaking point and see how they handle it. And it's great to be there and be a part of this process. We talk about making better Americans, and Selection really does capture that on such a high level. And the people watching don't get to see it because we can't have a camera crew chasing us around the entire time. But you really get to see guys in their darkest of hours and how they battle and fight through it. It's kind of poetic, man, to sit there back in the shadows and watch, enforcing a standard, and watch these people either rise to the occasion or go home. And another thing about GORUCK Selection is it's a whole different side of the cadre. Everybody that's done an event with me knows that super lighthearted, I like to have fun, but there's times where you gotta switch it on and it's go time. And Selection is that event where I get to be a little bit more in my element that I'm used to from the Special Forces community, where it's go time, there's a standard, there's no deviation, and it's time to execute.
I like that. And I think it's true that the only people who truly know what happens at GoRuck Selection are the participants and the cadre. There's just no way for everyone else to get a good look into that event without actually being there for those 48 plus hours.
Yeah. Watching the GoRuck live and cheering guys on from home, that's fine. To really get a true appreciation, I think the people that came out to GoRuck Selection last year and were out at Jason's dad's house, there's no shadows, obviously, but there's a bonfire up and away from the actual event taking place. And when guys get medically dropped or voluntarily withdraw, they go up and sit by the fire, and there's a lot of GRTs there kind of hanging out, which is a really good thing because they need people to kind of, even though they didn't pass selection, they didn't make it all the way through the event, those guys put out some tremendous efforts. And they need the community to come up there and rally around them and kind of love on these guys for putting it out there like that. Like I said before, it's truly a bold statement to put your name on the line to sign up for selection. When you sign that dotted line, you're saying you're ready for anything and everything to be thrown at you by six of the most hardcore spec ops guys that GoRuck has to offer. So getting those guys to come up and sit by the fire or meet at the start point or whatever the holding area is, that's a crucial component that people don't really get to see as well. Because once somebody gets removed from selection, they get taken off to the side, they get discussed, you know, what standards they failed to meet, and then they get moved out to the holding area. Having non-participants and bystanders from the community there at the bonfire is a must-have, man. Like, we got to take care of the participants that don't make it all the way through as well. Because they're in a rough mental state because GoRuck Selection puts the wrenches down on these dudes. When they don't make it, like, they thought when they signed up that they were gonna make it through, like it was a tough or a triple heavy or any of that stuff. But it's nothing like anything that they've seen before. Their mental resiliency has been tested to the max. And those people, I'm not saying that they're broken, but they definitely put out their max effort and gave it their 110%. And they're in a mind.
Their mental capacity has been depleted.
Yeah, they're depleted. And it's a blow to some people's egos. Let's just be honest. They thought they had what it took, and it's a blow to people's egos. And that they didn't make it all the way through. But at the end of the day, it's not about that. It's about them pushing themselves, and it's not about getting the patch at the end. People need to realize that it's about meeting a standard, executing the standard, and making it through the event. But at the same time, your training's only going to take you so far. You're not going to learn mental resiliency by reading a book. You're not going to learn mental resiliency by going through some HR class at the company you work for through PowerPoint. Mental resiliency is built throughout your lifetime. There's no other event out there that GoRuck offers that truly tests your mental resiliency like selection.
So you mentioned that the last GoRuck selection event was at Jason's dad's house.
Yep.
The coming GoRuck selection's in Jacksonville, Florida. So it's an entirely different stomping ground for you to play around in. Are you excited about the move?
I'm excited about the move because it keeps guys on their toes and they have to change up their training. So what guys did last year to pass selection will not work this year for selection. Changing the environment, changing the weather, the humidity, more access to water, the sand, rucking on the trails and in the woods of Ohio is totally different than rucking and running on the beach, you know? So the guys that are showing up, if you didn't train running in the sand and rucking in the sand, being wet, cold, and tired, you knew where the event was going to be and you know how we operate within GoRuck. So, you know, you set yourself up for failure.
Looking back at the last GoRuck selection event, are there some moments from that stood out to you? You know, when you think of the event, those are the ones you remember?
There's a lot of events that stand out to me. I just want to start off with the beginning. When people showed up, everybody had a good mental attitude, right? Everybody had it kind of figured out in their own mind. But once we started, they easily realized that they didn't have it sorted out in their own mind. If you're not practicing and rehearsing the PT test, because the standards are out there for the PT test. If you can't meet the standards for the PT test to get in, then you have no purpose of even signing up for selection. If you're not having a buddy out there time you on your runs and give you constructive feedback on your push-ups and your form, you really got no business signing up. That was one of the moments that really stood out to me was during the, it was really an admin portion. An administrative, there's very little stress. We're not yelling, we're not screaming, we're not upset with anyone. Very stoic, very flat. And we conduct a PT test. And during that PT test, the standard is a standard. It's on the website. It's emailed out to the participants. And we're not going to deviate from it. And we had a lot of participants that failed push-ups and sit-ups. That really stood out to me that maybe people aren't preparing appropriately enough. To be honest, it's the hardest endurance event that you can find on the market today. So you could go back. The Facebook Live photos are still on Facebook. And I would argue that you could go back and just watch the videos with this thought in mind. When Jason or Lee or Nick go up and interview people during the event, the participants, during their short break, and they ask people how they're feeling, there's a few people that answer less than 100%, 80, 70, I think I'll make it. That's already showing that there's dents in their armor, right? And it's nothing against those people. It's just that that's where they were at that point in time in life. They weren't feeling that they were 100%. But your mind controls your body. And now if you go back and look to the guys that have passed, when they're asked about their how they feel, they immediately answer 100%. They've already passed this event. They already have that good, positive, aggressive mental attitude, giving themselves positive self-talk throughout the event, regardless of how blistered up their feet are or how swollen their knees are. Just constantly giving themselves that self-talk that they're fine, they're going to be okay, they're 100%. That is a huge memorable moment for me. That's kind of part of that roller coaster that I talked about earlier as well. You get to see the resiliency and the mental, and we all know this, but the mind controls what the body does. And if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. And you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and meeting the standard, you're going to do fine. And keep coaching yourself and self-talk inside your head. Because once that seed of doubt's planted, you're by yourself. There's nobody that's going to, you know, dig that seed up for you. The weeds are going to start to grow and the wheels are going to come off and participants going to walk up to the cadre and voluntarily withdraw.
That's powerful. I talked to Chris Way. He mentioned run 5 miles in 40 minutes. And if you can't do it, then work on that. Focus on the PT test until you can do it multiple times and it's just a non-issue. I think that's powerful that you were there. The list, it's been out for years. That's been the PT standard for years for GORUCK selection. So it's no surprise.
Yeah. And you have to train as close to the environment that you're going into. If I was going to Antarctica, I sure as hell wouldn't be down here in the desert where I'm at now training for my mission. I want to replicate everything as real as possible, right? If you're not having your friends come out and shark attack you and smoke the dog shit out of you, keeping you guessing, keeping you on your toes, making things unpredictable, testing your mental resiliency. If you're not doing 18, 20 mile rucks by yourself, isolated, motivating yourself, self-talking, you're not going to make it. If you went and worked out on an elliptical or a treadmill and thought you were going to come to selection and pass the PT test and you'll be fine, not going to make it. I'm going to tell you right now, fact, you're not just going to go jog on a treadmill or get on an elliptical and come to selection. It's not going to happen.
Are you telling me you don't have a treadmill there for each participant to perform the 5 mile run on?
Yeah, there's no treadmills at selection. There's no exercise bikes. There's no ellipticals, none of that crap. If you're not out in the environment, pounding your body, beating yourself down little by little, chiseling away and forging your mental resiliency, then you're not going to make it past the first few hours of the GORUCK selection. If you're one of those people that needs to be boosted up and motivated and have cheerleaders clapping for you every step of the way, it's not going to happen. If you're somebody that thrives in an austere environment alone by yourself, you're going to do well. But overall, I think that's one thing that weeds people out very quickly. The guys that train in a gym versus the guys that get out and beat the streets and put their body through the paces as they prepare. Obviously, you're not going to beat yourself down all the way up to selection, but give yourself a 10 to 12 days break before you show up to selection.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to show up to that event broken. That's for sure.
Another thing too is, unlike a tough, unlike a heavy, unlike your triple heavies, your triple tough, whatever, your triple T's, all that stuff that's out there. When you get done with selection, I hope you put in for some vacation at work. If you pass the entire event, you're going to need a good solid week to 10 days to recover from it. Because we put you through the paces. It's a true test of who you are to your core. And you're going to be laid up for a good 7 to 10 days afterwards if you put 110% into it.
So speaking of putting a lot of work into an event, GORUCK selection is 48 hours. It has to be a ton of work putting that event on. What's a challenge or a difficulty that's associated with running GORUCK selection that people on the outside, like myself, probably don't notice or wouldn't notice?
A couple things with putting on GORUCK selection. It's not as difficult to put it on as people think it is, because that's the space that us SF guys operate in. It's actually a little more fluid than putting on a tough as a single cadre, right? Because you're there resourcing, outfitting it. When we show up to GORUCK selection, it's a team. There's six of us, the whole crew's out there. And especially being in Jacksonville, we'll have the support of the headquarters. So things should be very seamless and very fluid for the entire event. But really, you know, looking for places that are more isolated and more secluded, because the last thing we want is for that candidate to have somebody, a passerby or somebody to come up and motivate them and cheer them on. Keeping things secluded, keeping things, you know, intense. That's one thing too, is that it's no secret. We rotate shifts. That participant is completely depleted and beat down. But in another 5 hours, 6 hours, the next shift comes on. They got a cadre who's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We rotate through that portion, and then at times, we want to increase the chaos or intensity, the uncertainty for the candidate. We'll do more swarms. We'll bring more people out that are off shift if they're awake, and just swarm people. Putting the event on is super easy, super fluid for us. One thing that I bring to the table is I do the med checks prior to the event kicking off. If you have a serious medical condition, there's no leadway on the standards when it comes to selection. It's not like a light or Tufts where, hey man, this guy has this condition, and we take that into consideration during the conduct of the event. When it comes to selection, if you're not healthy, if your medical condition, you know, if you got any medical conditions that don't bring you up to being 100% functional, I wouldn't participate. I'd back out, save yourself the extra agony of going, because like I said, man, we're going to put you through the paces. There's a standard. There's no deviation. Don't care if you got the flu. Don't care if you got a hangnail or you got a blister. We're very stoic. And we're very flat and blunt, and the standard is the standard. I know that's like the party line I keep towing, the standard is the standard, but that's the mantra of selection. There's no deviation. I don't feel sorry for you. We're not friends. We're not buddies during the conduct of selection. And when we're done, we'll sit by the fire and drink a beer and high five and slap each other on the ass. But during the conduct of selection, like, you're not going to get any sympathy. I'm not going to be empathetic to any of your moans, agonies, or any grunting you do. So any medical conditions you have coming in, just put that in perspective that we have zero sympathy for you during the conduct of the event.
It's good to know.
I want to get on my soapbox for a second about something.
Let's do it.
When it comes to prepping for anything, preparation is crucial. And it's not just preparing for the major muscle movements. I can pass the PT test, so therefore I can go to selection. If you're not preparing and rehearsing every aspect, every step of the way, if you're not looking at every AAR and replicating your training to meet what guys have said in the past, then you're not going to pass. There's no way. You have to prepare your body for food deprivation, sleep deprivation, being cold, wet, hungry, tired. So every aspect that you can bring into the game, you have to prepare yourself for, along with meeting the standard physically. You have to get yourself out of your comfort zone when you're training for this. Like I said before, you can't just go to the gym and run on the treadmill. You can't just put on your GR1 with the bare minimum weight and just go ruck around your neighborhood. You got to put in the hours, you got to put in the paces, and put in the reps. And it's going to show come selection day. Who's put in the hours, who's put in the paces, whoever that person is going to be standing tall at the end. But everybody else that thinks it's just another GORUCK event and I'm the cadre there to be your buddies, wrong answer. You can go back and ask anybody. During the conduct of that event, very flat, very blunt, standard is the standard. Don't care about your boo-boos. Don't care about your owies. We'll do med checks on you. Make sure that you're healthy and fit. If you're not going to cause any permanent damage, if we need to, we med drop people. But for the most part, I got zero sympathy for you. We will take care of you and make sure the event is conducted in a safe manner. And you're not going to cause permanent or further injury to yourself. But in reality, there's not going to be any pity parties for anybody. So you need to be out there replicating the training environment that you're going into and preparing yourself for all 48 hours. If you come to selection and you haven't rucked for 48 hours straight, probably not going to make it. If you haven't had a buddy come out and follow you all night in your car and you're just out beating the streets, walking the hills, or running the beach, probably not going to make it. I'm going to lay that out there now. And if you're not preparing for the packing list, like if you're not nice and neatly in your ruck, that we have easy access to them, because it's a condensed timeline. In this 48-hour period, we're showing you what all the cadre have gone through in one fashion or the other. This is just a 48-hour snapshot, a small taste of what SF selection is like, a small taste of what BUDS is like. It's a small taste of what the Force Recon Indoc is like. This is just a sampling. I can't speak on behalf of the SEALs or the Force Recon guys, but I know for SF guys, it's 21 days of that with long movements every day, PT intermittently, sleep deprivation, food deprivation. So that's why when these guys come in for a 48-hour endurance event, very little sympathy, because all the cadre that are standing there and standing tall in front of them, enforcing that standard, have done this on a much larger scale and have all been successful at it. you know, some other things during selection too, like guys get med drops because they're used to conducting events, you know, the Tufts and the lights where the cadre are always yelling, drink water. Selection, it's your body. Big boy rules. You put in what you think you need when it comes to your water intake. We will monitor you. And that's pretty much the aim of the whole thing is we monitor people. Oh, let's talk about some crazy shit that happened last year. If you're showing up wearing long johns underneath your t-shirt and shorts, probably going to overheat. Guys were overdressed and underprepared during the welcome party. That's my big takeaway from last year. Overdressed, too much cold weather gear for the amount of movement and the effort they were putting out for extended periods of time. But it's not like we're going to stop and say, okay, you can get in your backpack, you can get in your rucksack, little buddy, fold your stuff up, put it in your water bag, little pudding pop. No, the mission's going on. It's time to execute. And there's a standard. There's no coddling. There's no handholding. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit and you give 110% to whatever we throw at you. I think there was a lot of people that came in last year thinking that it was going to be similar to a Tough and a Light. I mean, granted, last year was my only selection event, but that was just some of the stuff that I saw. Preparing that packing list, making sure that what you have is appropriate. It's 48 hours. You don't need to pack your lucky anvil. Okay. It's a 48 hour movement. You don't need a giant gypsy camp hanging off your back. When it comes to MREs and food selections, if you're not picking the highest calorie count and increasing your caloric intake, every opportunity that we allow you, eating carbs, tons of fats, just eat it up. You're not going to gain any weight during selection. I promise you that. Making good choices up front, preparing your ruck, knowing your packing list, knowing how it's packed in your ruck, and picking the best items for everything, from your socks to whatever shirts you're wearing. You really need to make sure that you carefully select everything, your food choices. Set yourself up for success. That's the big thing. When we did the packing list check prior to the PT test, that was one thing I had to say. It was a giant ball of mess out there, 550 cords splayed everywhere, junk everywhere, gypsy camp. Pack your stuff up nice and neat. Have several bags. Like, this is my sock bag. This is my smaller dry bag. This is my food bag. This is my extra clothes bag, whatever, my extra shoes bag. And packing that and practice packing it in and out. Because in selection, it truly does pay to be a winner. Because when you finish things first, you get to take a break while everybody else is still mouth breathing and sucking wind. And every one of those breaks that you get to take, that's an extra advantage you have over everybody else.
That's great advice. Incredible advice.
See what else, Brian. Now, I'm going to touch on this too, because it was an issue last year, but he was such a badass that it didn't faze him. If you're coming in wearing compression shorts and you know the event's taking place at Jacksonville Beach, what do you think is going to take place? High probability you're going to be in the surf, in the sand, and wearing compression shorts is the worst idea you can have. Because now you're just trapping against your skin sand and other debris from the ocean to chafe and rub against your skin. Canada passed last year, he had the opportunity to take his underwear off at the 24-hour mark. If you can live with a fistful of sand in between your butt cheeks for 24 hours while we're making you do all this stuff, go right ahead and wear a compression short. The term commando exists for a reason, all right? We're putting you through a commando-style training. You want that sand to get off of you and away from you as readily as possible.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good combination.
So if you're wearing compression shorts to the beach, you're the village idiot, and I will see you at the med drop line.
Just imagining that, that's terrible.
It's like getting road rash all day. It's terrible. Sandburn, chafing all over. And then we're going to put you back in the water, and then it burns and it hurts, and then your mind's there inside the pain zone. You want to try to minimize as often as you're in the pain zone. You want to try to set yourself up as much as possible, finishing things first, getting there, getting that break so you can recover a little bit. You're not going to fully recover by any means, but getting a break, resting up, getting ready for the next evolution. And then too, with the food, you want to prepare yourself, eat the most calories that you can to give yourself an advantage. It's all preparation. And the guys that are participants this year, I wish you the best of luck, but the standard is the standard. And if you can meet the standard, you'll be standing tall at the end.
This has been amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries, Brian. Anything for you, man.
Have a great time down there. You'll be in your element.
Yeah, it's like I said, man, it's my favorite event because I don't mind being nice and being friendly to everybody, but you get to watch people struggle with themselves. And then at the same time, not saying that we're not fun, happy people, but they get an appreciation for what we've been through and then kind of how we were treated and how our selection process goes.
And for those who are listening, and have not done an event with Kadri Mikey B. He is a really nice guy. So it's always fun to watch him at selection, because I did a back-to-back tough with him, and after that, we ate a ton of brats and drank beer.
I'm probably the easiest cadre that's out there. I just pass out patches. If I didn't have selection to release all the hate out on, I'm joking. But yeah, if you haven't done a GoRuck event, come on out, man. They're not as scary or as evil as a lot of people try to, you know, perceive them to be. It's a lot of fun. We're going to push you and test you. And hopefully, you know, iron sharpens iron, and we can forge you into a little bit of a better version of yourself, a little more resilient, a little more tough. You know what your new limits are. And those that are GRTs and regulars in this community, keep pushing yourself. You're a great group of weirdos. To all my homies that I know very well, and Mr. Musk, give a shout out to Summer up in Berkeley. Greg Erickson, Mr. Musk bro, and Bill Vernon, give some shout out.
Absolutely. Mikey, thank you so much for taking the time for this, man. Take care and have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rockoff podcast. To learn more about the Yorick Selection event, and to get links to everything we talked about during the show, please visit the show notes at alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-014. To learn more about All Day Rockoff, you can visit us at alldayruckoff.com. Did you enjoy the show? We would love a review on Apple Podcasts or even our Facebook page. Think we can do something better? Send an email directly to me at brian@alldayruckoff.com, as I'm always looking for ways to improve the show. Thank you so much, and remember, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, rock harder.